turn to Romans chapter 8. And to save you a little time, turn to Romans 8, hold your place there. And if you got something to mark it with or use an extra finger, turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. If you were like me, it took me a moment or two to find Habakkuk. I knew it was in there, but Romans chapter 8, and then I will go to Habakkuk chapter 3. All right, Romans chapter 8. Let me read just a couple verses. I will begin there. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, that is, fleshly, same thing he meant in verse 5. For to be fleshly or carnally minded, and it says is, it's fine, it didn't hurt either. For to be carnally minded is death.
Yes, sir.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, Paul moves, he's talking about the same thing in verse 5 and 6, but he moves from being one either fleshly and after the flesh, that is, after the flesh, that is, being fleshly. He moves from being that, or being spiritual, they that are after the Spirit. They do mind the things of the Spirit. But then he moves to its result, for to be carnally minded is what? It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I'm not going to stay here very long, but I just want to set a foundation. First of all, Paul here summarizes the difference between the carnal and the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Now, there is no question that the believer, that is, the person who has been converted by the gospel of Christ, has both flesh and spirit.
Yes, sir.
Is both fleshly, still has the Adamic nature, still has the old nature,
yes,
but also is made to be a spiritual person.
Yes,
but Paul is not talking about that right here in verse 5 and 6. He's not talking about that here. The believer has the flesh, but the believer is no longer fleshly minded. Okay?
Yes, sir.
That's that. He's moved here to a different area, you might say. And I'm not here to argue that this morning. There are those who would want to debate that, to say that's not true. Doesn't matter what they want. Paul here summarizes the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. But let me try to explain it further, to give a little more detail, or state it in a couple different ways, a couple other ways. In other words, Paul is summarizing the difference between the regenerate person and the unregenerate person.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what he's differentiating between. Mm-hmm. They that are after the flesh, what do they mind? What do they pay attention to?
Yeah.
Where is their heart and their being set?
Exactly.
They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's where their mind is.
Yes, sir.
Set on fleshly things. Now, it may be religious things. But nevertheless, it's set on the flesh. But they that are, that lets you know, here's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they that are after the Spirit, they mind. You can put that in there.
Yeah.
They mind the things of the Spirit. And the reason is, because, for, to be carnally minded is what? Death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to be spiritually minded is life. But it's also something else. It's peace. Let me say this, and this is not even a part of the message. Do not be caught up, so caught up on one doctrine that you belittle the others.
Right. You're right. Exactly.
There's been times, and I still stand for every doctrine, God willing, as wholeheartedly and as forcefully and as fully as I can. But don't be caught up on one doctrine so much that you belittle or begin to negate the other truths. Life is given by God sovereignly, but it's not an end in itself.
That's right.
It's given for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason is to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Therefore, the center is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because believing it and bowing to Christ is the only manifestation of where God's given life.
Exactly.
So if you want to get to the heart of the matter, go to preaching the gospel and you'll find out who has life or who doesn't. You can hammer all day long about life. Our Lord said it. See, I said I wouldn't go preach on it, but here I am. Except a man be born again. And that is absolutely essential. But we're not born again just for the sake of being born again.
That's right.
Everybody talk, I'm born again.
Yeah.
But yet they don't have the fruit of what being the new birth is.
Exactly.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see. So you're born again so that you can see. So if you don't see, you haven't been born again, no matter how much you claim you've been born again.
Exactly.
And you're also born again not only to see, but to see to do something. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. You see? So life is not an end in itself. Don't get caught up on one thing so much. There's only one thing you can get caught up on. And that's the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all right to be caught up on that and that only. Because even if you miss a lot of other stuff. Now listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Even if you miss a lot of other stuff, you miss the person and work of Christ. You missed it all. You missed it all. So Paul here is summarizing the difference between the carnal and the spiritual, or the unregenerate and the regenerate, or the unconverted and the converted. That's what he's talking about. That's the difference here. Now even the converted still have the flesh, and we battle with it, as you see here, as you see in chapter 7, and even in chapter 8, and as I will mention probably later, well, there is this battle, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the difference between being converted or not.
Yeah.
Or, bring it down even simple, and this is vital, whether a person is lost or saved.
Amen.
Now remember, even the elect began in a lost condition.
Yes, sir.
I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
So this is important. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. I understand Christendom. That's all of professing Christianity lumped together. And all of its heresy and error. And I was going to say as well that's truth, but I will not lump the truth in with Christendom myself. I won't do that. But Christendom limits these differences to the moral versus immoral arena. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
You're right.
When they talk about being carnally minded or spiritually minded, or being saved or lost, or regenerate or unregenerate, or converted or unconverted, they usually relegate it all or limit it all to the arena of either moral versus immoral.
Yeah. You're right.
I do not want to belittle that.
No.
Now, understand me.
Yeah.
Understand this word. I'm not going to read it, but 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Paul gives this list, this litany of immorality, ungodliness, and unrighteousness. And then he tops it off by saying, and such were some of you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Now your flesh is still that way, but you are not that way anymore.
Amen.
And Paul actually says, we're allowed to say that.
Yes, sir.
I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. You see? We're given the right by God's free sovereign grace in Christ to make a distinction between ourselves and our flesh as believers. But that's not the distinction Paul's making here in Romans 8. Now, what I say is, while Christendom limits these differences to the moral versus immoral realm or arena, do not throw that off. Because it says, and such were some of you, but ye are.
Yeah.
You're washed, yeah. You're sanctified.
Yeah.
You're justified. And it's all in the Spirit, by Christ, and through the Spirit. There is a difference in the way I used to be and the way I am after God saves me.
Yeah. Right.
There is a difference. And if you haven't experienced that difference, you've not been saved.
Amen.
You're still lost.
Yeah.
You may be one of God's. I don't know. You may be, you may not be. But if you die in that condition,
that's
guess
it.
What?
Yeah.
You will perish.
That's it.
Well, what if I'm one of the elect? You're not one of the elect if you die in that condition.
That's it.
Now, let me tell you something. If you live in that condition, you're not saved. If you live in that degradation of the flesh, whether it's immorality or whether it's false religion, it all is lumped together. Not just one thing.
That's right. You're right.
But now turn to Habakkuk. Because in Habakkuk, I believe we have a prime illustration of this difference. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 3. And just two verses, especially for the sake of time this morning. Verses 17 and 18. Mike Walker mentioned this and quoted it when he was here. He and Bruce were here a while back in June. And it just stuck in my mind. I couldn't get away from it. And then later, these things started to Mason lay one upon another. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Before I move any further, let me say this.
Yeah.
Be careful here that your mind does not wander into some distant realm as though this is only some prophecy of some future time to come. Though it may be that, be careful that you do not so disproportionately approach the scripture as you do not get the present message for today and for your soul. Now, most of you probably know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not. But let me just put it this way. Do not be so caught up with the prophecies of the future millennium that you become so blinded to the present kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because now is what matters. Now is what matters. Not then. Now that does matter. But if all you see is the future and you don't see the present, you will miss the glory of the future. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, even Mason, if I'm wrong about some of those future things, you will miss the future things in their glory and their majesty if you miss the present.
That's right.
Now, what Habakkuk is doing is talking to the people of his day in a language that they understood.
Yeah.
What's he talking about? Here's what the prophet means. Have you ever heard, I'll just give you a couple familiar phrases, when the bottom drops out.
Exactly. That's it.
Never had that happen?
Yeah.
When the bottom drops out. There's another one. The world has come crashing down around my head. That's what the prophet's talking about.
Exactly.
You see? This is relevant information for any age.
Exactly.
Of any time. And it is not merely a prophecy of some future time even for us. It was the reality in Habakkuk's day. It was the reality in Christ's day. It was the reality during the Dark Ages. It was the reality during the Reformation. And it is the reality yet today.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, the fruit shall not be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall, yet.
Amen.
Do you see that? Yet. It's a glorious yet.
Yet
I will rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Even when the bottom drops out.
Exactly.
Even when my world has come crashing down upon my head.
Exactly.
This is a serious situation here.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine not having any of these things?
Yeah.
You're going to be hungry.
Yes, sir.
Are you not? You're going to be in need. Are you not? And some of these needs cannot be met. Because I don't think the prophet's mentioned at all. I don't think he's being exhaustive. I think he's just pointed out a few of them. You know what I'm saying? Although none of these things exist, they're gone. The bottom's dropped out. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now somebody says, what does that have to do with Romans 8, verses 5 and 6? Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the question is this, when the bottom drops out, where is my mind?
Yes, sir.
What is my mind set upon?
Yes, sir.
What are my thoughts? Where am I being led to? What am I dwelling on? Joe, where am I dwelling? Am I dwelling in the barren fields? And in the barren stalls? And amongst the barren flock? Or is my mind stayed upon God Himself?
Amen.
Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's what the prophet's talking about. When my world comes crashing down, yet I have hope. Though everything around me seems to be shot to hell. Sorry for the language, but that's another way of putting it. When everything just goes to pot, yet I have something. Oh, even more, I have someone to rejoice in. And even when I am sorrowful beyond words, and mere human words cannot express my sorrow and my difficulty and my pain, yet there is something, no, someone that I find joy in.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And here's the amazing thing. By the preponderant testimony of Scripture, I'm finding joy in the very one who has brought these calamities upon me.
That's right. You're right.
Because if there is no fig tree to blossom, fig tree blossoming, who's the one that stayed to bloom?
That's right.
If there is no fruit in the vines, who's the one that killed them?
Yes, sir.
If there is no labor, the labor of the olive shall fail. Who's the one that did all these things?
Yeah.
The Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who reigneth.
Amen.
He did these things. Yet I rejoice in Him.
Yes, sir.
And notice, the prophet says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
The carnal mind can joy in a salvation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In a salvation.
Yeah.
A supposed salvation.
Exactly.
A figment salvation.
Yeah.
But the spiritual mind rejoices not just in the salvation, but in the giver of
Amen.
This salvation.
Amen.
You see, it is not, I will rejoice in the salvation of my God. That's true, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Do we not rejoice? David, when he came to die, look at the calamity in David's life. And a lot of it came because of his own disobedience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I started to go through that, but look at all that happened there.
Oh, yeah.
With David's family. And yet in the end, he said, yet, though it be not so with my house, yet, it's another yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my hope and all my salvation.
Amen.
Oh, what a glory. Listen to this statement. I've reworded it. I got it from someone else, but they don't get the credit. God does. You think I was going to say I do? God does. But listen, this is fact. It is easy to joy in God's goodness while basking in its radiance. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
When things are going well, it's easy to rejoice.
Yeah.
It's easy to find joy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now come on now. Even the carnal mind can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the rain falls on the unjust says, what a glory.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll even give God the credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
Now won't they? Sometimes they'll even do that. But can they rejoice in God Himself?
No.
Not in God Himself. But yet the believer, though he or she cannot rejoice in their circumstances because they may be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Yet that person can rejoice in the very God who brought that devastation.
Amen.
Because He's brought and is Himself much more.
Yeah.
There it is. It's easy to joy in God's goodness while basking in His radiance. Yet the truly saved soul rejoices in Christ Himself, even when all creature comforts are stripped away by Christ Himself.
Amen.
Hmm? There's the difference between the spiritual mind and the carnal mind.
Exactly.
The carnal mind will rejoice in Jesus, when all things go well. When there's what? When there's a fig, when there's figs on the trees.
Yeah.
When there's fruit on the vines. When the olives are flush and the oil comes forth. When the fields yield all kinds of meat. The flocks are fat and the stalls have multitudes of herds. Even the carnal mind will say, well, God is so good, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? But what about when that same God strips it all from you?
Exactly.
What about when your world comes crashing down? Can you and do you still rejoice and joy in that same God?
Exactly.
There's the difference.
Yes, sir.
There's the difference. It's right here.
That's it.
It's right here. Let me try to illustrate this with a couple illustrations. Our portion is on that side of the river. Even as we sojourn on this side of the river.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's where my portion is. My portion's not here.
Amen.
Exactly.
But what if I lose my house?
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. You say, you don't mean that. I mean that!
Yeah.
What if my health fails? Do I care? Yeah, I care. But you know what? If my health fails, so be it. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord and joy. And look at that. Yet will I rejoice in the, what? Yahweh.
Amen.
Who is Yahweh? He's the one who determines and controls everything.
Exactly.
That's the very meaning here. When he used that word Lord in the first instant, the very one who caused all this calamity to come is the very one I rejoice in. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. The carnal mind, though religious it may be, and it may profess the name of Christ, yet it cannot do that. You know what I say? It cannot, when calamity comes, rejoice in the very same one who brought the calamity.
That's right.
You can't do it. I don't care how much doctrine you know or don't know, but if that's your experience, you're a saved person.
Yeah.
If the bottom of your world drops out, and yet you can rejoice in God Almighty,
yeah,
and find joy in Him. In Him,
yeah,
you're a saved person.
Yeah.
No matter how much you doubt it, no matter how much you fear you may not be it, that's where you're at. But I don't care how much you claim to be one. If you cannot find yourself there, I don't care who you are this morning, and I'm talking to myself as well as you, if
yeah,
this is not my condition and my state, I do not know God. The way it is. I do not know God. Our portion is on that side of the river, even as we sojourn on this side of the river. And do I have, New Testament proof for that. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4.
Yep.
If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections where?
Yeah.
Where? On the other side of the river.
Yeah.
On things above. Not on things of the earth. Why? Because they will fail. The bottom of your world will drop out at some time, somewhere or another. God may or may not restore that to you in this life. He may or may not. Remember, Hebrews 11, some received great deliverance. Didn't they? By faith. But others accepted not deliverance.
That's right.
Uh-huh. They didn't receive it in this life.
Exactly.
Their world dropped out. The world came crashing down upon them. Yet they could rejoice in the Lord and they found joy in the God of their salvation.
Amen.
That's the difference between a carnal mind and a spirit. You can be a moral person, far more moral than any other individual. But if you're not there, you're not saved.
Amen.
That's right.
And even, now listen to me. Even if you fight and struggle with immorality and you battle against it on a constant daily basis. You heard what I said. You battle against it. You fight against it. You moan and bemoan under your faults and failures. Yet if you see yourself here, if you're there, you're one of God's.
Yes, sir.
You're one of God's.
Yes, sir.
Do I have to give illustrations? I shouldn't have to, but I'm not going to. They're all there.
That's right.
They're all there. Think of it. Here's another, the second illustration. Our portion as priests unto God. Are we not said to be kings and priests?
Yes, sir.
Made to be so, right?
Yes, sir.
Kings and priests. Let's look at the priest part. Our portion as the priests, as priests unto God, as was typified in the Old Testament priesthood, our portion is to eat of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Remember, now, not some portions were for the Lord and the Lord only.
Exactly. Yeah.
But other portions of the very same sacrifice, the same animal, Joe.
Yeah.
Certain parts of it went to who? To eat.
Yeah.
To live on.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't go out into the fields and work like everybody else, could they? They weren't given land like everybody else, only cities to dwell in.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What was their portion? To eat of a portion of the very sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a glory. Do we have New Testament for that? Yeah, read John 6, you'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that's the one that has life.
Amen.
You see it? To partake of the sacrifice himself.
Yes, sir.
Though my world comes crashing down upon my head, yet I will. Well, I thought you didn't believe man had a will. Oh, I believe he's got a will.
Yeah.
But he won't have one of these kind until God Almighty gives it to him.
Exactly.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? I can't help it. I can't help it.
Right.
And I like to do it. That's the joy part. That's the rejoicing part. Joe, it's not, well, I've got to believe God.
You're right.
All of this calamity's befallen me, but, well, I know God, I believe. It don't work that way.
No.
Now, I'm not saying you don't feel that way about your calamities.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm, don't misunderstand me. He didn't say I will rejoice in my circumstances.
Exactly.
No, if you do, you're off.
You're
off. You know, they have a phrase for that in medical things, you know. I don't even know what it is now. I done forgot it and I didn't write it down. But they got a phrase for it. You don't rejoice in your circumstances, especially verse 17 kind.
Yeah. Right.
But even at the same time, you can rejoice in God himself.
Exactly.
In the Lord. The Lord is our portion. Turn to Psalms, the 16th Psalm. Listen to this verse. Psalm 16. For the sake of, let me just read verse 5. Look, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Wait a minute, but what about my justification? What about my reconciliation? If the Lord is my portion, those things are mine.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But he's my portion. The reconciler is my portion.
Exactly.
The peacemaker is my portion. The justifier is my portion.
That's right.
Not just the reconciliation and the justification and the peace. He is it, right?
Amen.
The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Whatever that lot may be.
Exactly.
You see it? Whatever that lot may be. Psalm 73. Turn to that one. Psalm 73. And again, for the sake of the time, I will just limit it to one verse here. I got to take a few moments here and you all. It's almost 12 o'clock. Look at verse 26. For my flesh and my heart faileth.
Amen.
Both, right?
Yes, sir.
Before I go any further, let me say this. My flesh fails because it is bound by Adamic corruption.
Yes, sir.
David, listen to me. I'm finding out more and more. David understood a whole lot more than what some people want to talk about. Or what some people even, he said, some people say, well, he's talking about his flesh, his body, and his heart. No, flesh and heart, if you look at it from a totally natural, both of them's the same thing, right? The pumper. No, he's talking about my corruption, my Adamic nature.
Yes, sir.
It fails, but it fails because of Adamic corruption.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But my heart also fails. Right? Why does my heart fail? My heart can fail because my heart is under Christ's ordained circumstantial darkness.
Yeah.
You can be in darkness because of the ordained circumstances God's put you under.
Right.
Now add to that, and you know that because I just preached Micah 7, 8, and 9. Rejoice not against me, mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise.
Amen.
And what did he say? Even when I sit in darkness. Now what? Adamic darkness? That's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about the darkness of circumstances. The darkness of my fall into sin. Then he said, but the Lord. The Lord shall be a light. Not just he'll give me light. That's true. But the Lord shall be a light unto me. The Lord himself. Look at it. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my... He didn't say flesh and heart, did he? Because God don't work on the flesh. God don't deal with the flesh. God tells us to deal with it.
Yeah.
And at best, do what? Mortify it.
Yeah.
Not sanctify it. You can't do it. Absolutely. Mortify it. I still remember what Jim McCarty said, and he's right. Some people confuse sanctification with mortification.
Yeah.
But they want to.
Exactly.
They want to because they think they can sanctify themselves. What all that they are in God's sight. Your flesh is still, and my flesh is still just as corrupt and under as much bondage as it ever was.
That's right.
My heart and my flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart.
Amen.
You see that? Why? Because that heart came from him. He's distinguishing between what?
Yeah.
Carnal and spiritual.
Amen.
Look, and my portion.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? Turn over to Jeremiah. I want to illustrate this, and you bear with me. Hang in there a little bit. Where is Jeremiah? It's before Daniel, ain't it? Should have had that one marked, shouldn't I? Before Ezekiel. Last chapter, Jeremiah chapter 52. And I'm just going to read it and make a couple statements. And this is allegory. I am using it allegorically, this passage, allegorically. Okay? Now look, Jeremiah 52, verse 31. We see this illustrated. What I'm talking about, we see this illustrated. And it came to pass in the 7th and 13th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month. Notice that.
Yes, sir.
Who cares how exactly? Why does that matter, Mac? Why go down to the day? Why?
Well,
let me tell you why. Because God Almighty regenerated you. And he converted you. He saved you on the exact day, at the exact moment he had predestined before the world began for you to be saved.
Amen.
The time of love came for you.
That's right.
Now look at it. There it is. That right down to the month. 25th day of the month. Or the month and the day. That evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of the prison.
Yeah.
You see that? An exact day.
Yeah.
Now look. And spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life.
Amen.
And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon. He was eating the very king's portion.
Yes, sir.
You see it? Huh? Every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life.
Amen.
That's what it's like to be saved.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's like to be saved.
Yes, sir.
There it is. I know that because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I am there. Mm-hmm. And my only hope is that he continues to keep me there.
Amen.
And he will.
Amen.
And he will. Now listen to me. It is not our failures, and they are various, all different kinds.
Yeah.
Some of them are because we willfully and wantonly engage in things we should not.
Right.
Or maybe we refuse to engage in things we should.
Right.
And sometimes we have failures. We have sin. Sometimes we sin and we don't even mean to.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll illustrate that here in a little bit. Sometimes we sin. We don't even mean to. It's not like, I looked at that woman. Sometimes things just happen and you think, where in God's name did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know where it came from, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the ears where it came from.
Yep.
Now listen to, it's not our failures. They are various and many. They're various and many. It is not our failures in trouble that mark us as saved or lost.
You're right.
Oh, as long as I stand up in trouble more than I fall in trouble, I'm okay. Mm-mm, that's not the standard.
Right.
Well, as long as I never fall, you're going to fall.
You're right.
I'm going to fall. It is not our failures in trouble that mark us as saved or lost. It's rather this. Do our various and many failures drive us to Christ as our portion?
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it.
There's the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. That is the difference between being carnally minded and spiritually minded. Do our various and many failures drive us to Christ as our portion? Is my mind joyed in Him, even while my mind is troubled in my loss?
Yeah.
Is it? Or am I one who hard-heartedly and relentlessly bemoans the loss of the leeks and the garlics and the onions in Egypt?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Which one? That's the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. That's the difference between minding fleshly things and minding spiritual things.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand missing the leeks and the garlics and the onions, but you know what? They don't mean squat if you have God.
Amen.
They don't.
That's it.
The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink.
Exactly.
It's not even in having clothes on your back and a roof over your head. God says He'll take care of those things. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God. All this other, it'll be added to you. It'll come in God's way. It may be a lean-to somewhere. You may have to bum a room off somebody else and go live with somebody else. But even if you do, Joe, if the Lord is your portion and you rejoice in it, that's the spiritual mind. That's the difference. Now listen. Here's what people do. These other people, the carnal mind, even when it's moaning and struggling under the pressures of circumstances, still rejoices in Christ.
Yes.
It rejoices in here, even though sometimes this here says different.
Wow.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Now here's the opposite. Here's the carnal mind. The carnal mind does this. Inside here, it hard-heartedly and relentlessly bemoans the loss of the things circumstances have taken away, even then while giving lip service to Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe. God's so great and so good. Now, He ain't that good right now, but He is good. No, God's always good if He takes everything from me. And let me tell you, put it this way. If he even took my salvation because He purposed to, that'd be good too.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? He's promised, I will never leave thee.
Amen.
Nor forsake thee.
Amen.
It will not happen. What is my mind? And what do I mind? That's what Paul was talking about, right? What is my mind? And what do I mind? What about when sin attacks unawares? That's what I was talking about a moment ago. Now, I want to illustrate this, and I will not go into details because I do not desire to embarrass myself or anybody else. And most of the embarrassment would be on myself. Well, all of it would be. If you've ever been sitting and talking with a spouse or anyone else for that matter, and you're talking, you leave here, and you're going home and you're talking about what has been preached in the assembly and you're rejoicing in it, and it's just glorious. What a day! And within moments, you say something and you're at one another's throats.
No, that's never happened.
Come here. Y'all laugh. It ain't funny when it happens.
You're right.
It ain't funny when it happens. This ain't no joke. Because you wonder what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Where did that come from?
Exactly. That's it.
Here's where it come from.
Exactly.
Here's where it come from.
Amen.
And yet, even then, my only hope is, oh God, if you haven't saved me, I'm lost forever.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Hmm? Now, maybe that had never happened to you, but some of us it's happened to.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts.
Yes.
Because you think, what a fool am I. You can relate to David. I was as a beast before thee. Huh? You ever been there? What about when coldness and indifference is all of a sudden exposed? Huh? I've got something to say about this. Before I say it, look, what about when sin attacks unawares? Where's your mind? Does it run to Christ? Does it run to Christ? Oh, God. If you are not all myself, if you're not my Savior, I'm lost. Or does it say, well, I need to make up for that? Now, let me tell you, maybe you ought to make up with that.
Yeah.
With the person whom you've offended.
Exactly.
But you can't make up with it before God.
Amen.
All you can do is flee to Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Spiritual mind flees to Christ. The carnal mind says, well, I'll make this better and I'll get God to favor me again. Mm-mm. Doesn't
right.
work that way. What do I mind in that? But what about when coldness and indifference are exposed? I've realized something, folks. You can be very zealous locally and very indifferent and cold out there.
Yeah.
Now, some of you I've talked to about this. You get to where you get in this mindset of I am here and I will stand right here and fight until I die. That sounds to be like a good thing, don't it? Don't it? I want to fight with both hands. No, you never fight with both hands.
Nope.
You fight with a weapon in one. And you build with a trowel in the other.
Exactly.
It's not all about here.
Yeah. You're right.
Because there are brothers and sisters out there.
Yes, sir.
And they need us and we need them.
Yes, sir.
And you can be very zealous here and very cold and indifferent to all out there. And that ain't right.
Exactly.
And I don't say that preaching down to you. I'm confessing before you my state. And yet, here's the thing. What is my mind? What is my mind? Lord, before thee and thee only have I've done this evil in thy sight.
Exactly.
Huh? But yet, even then, Job, God, you are my portion.
Amen.
I rejoice in you. I joy in you. What about when calamity piles upon calamity? It's one thing to have a calamity, isn't it?
Yeah.
And things be worked out. But what about when calamity piles upon calamity? I think of some of you here. I see it happening to you. And it bleeds my heart because I can do nothing to help you save preach the truth to you. That God Almighty brought this upon you. For His own sovereign reasons. In wisdom.
Yes, sir.
And goodness toward you.
Yeah.
He loves you if you're His.
Yes, sir.
And the one reason I do know why these things bring. Because it weans us from everything else but Him.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that. I don't know a lot.
Yeah.
But I know that.
Yeah.
Because everything else doesn't matter. When sickness afflicts, financial difficulties, family troubles, what do I mind? Do I run from Christ, bitter and angry against Him? Or does it say, oh God, even when you say, why me? If you say, even when you say, why me? You really know, why me? I deserve worse than even this. I deserve the blackness of the lake of fire forever to be banished from God's all of God's goodness forever. But yet God has chosen me, Joe, and calls me up to approach unto Him. I can dwell in His courts and actually be satisfied with it.
Yes, sir.
I don't deserve that.
Amen.
When the bottom drops out, what do I mind?
Exactly.
There's the telltale. There's the hallmark.
Yeah.
When the bottom does drop out, and it will eventually, somewhere, sometime. And the bottom may stay gone. I'm reminded of that. Now I got to give you this. You all remember the thing at the carnival or the state fair or whatever it is, and and you're going along and it spins you around like you're standing up, and all of a sudden the bottom just goes out.
Yeah.
And you cannot help. I mean, it's centrifugal. Uh-huh. It's going around so fast. You're not going to come out.
Yeah.
But when that bottom drops out, I don't care who you are. You know what you do? You flinch. And you, yeah. Now, people who may have rode it a while or brave enough may just still, you know, I've seen people stick their arms and their legs out. But let me tell you, this illustrates God Almighty's grasp on us. The bottom will drop out. But God Almighty still got you in His sovereign hand. And that's enough. That's enough. What Paul, let me read you, you know the verse. What is it, Romans chapter, go back to Romans 8, isn't it? Let me find it. Now just hang tight. Okay. Verse 18, Romans 8. Look, for I reckon. He says, what's he mean? I count it.
Yeah.
He don't, like we talk, in the mountains, we say, I reckon, and we don't even, we, it's just a colloquial phrase.
Yeah.
I reckon this, I reckon that. Paul says, I count it to be so.
Yeah.
He don't always feel that way.
You
may not always feel that way, but you count it to be so. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. To be done with self.
Yeah.
Paul is not belittling sufferings here.
No.
Is he?
No.
But he's putting them in their proper perspective.
Yeah.
Their proper perspective. So what? Let me summarize. Time to quit. It's almost 15 after. Summarize. Listen to me. If God enables you to get anything, may it be that we all get this right here, this summer. Even if you haven't got much of the other, may God help us to get this. The gospel never becomes heavier or weaker.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It never becomes heavier. The gospel is not a heavy load. What did Christ say? Take my yoke upon you.
Sir.
Huh? It indicates weight, Joe, but yet a bearable weight.
Yes,
a good weight, right?
Yeah.
A nice weight.
Yeah.
The gospel never becomes heavier or weaker. And Paul summarized it. Let me put it this way. Now, I say it. I use this passage for a reason. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Now, I'll just stop right there, because that's the bulk of it. He came to save sinners. For me, that wasn't just true 30-some years ago. That's true right now, yet today.
Amen. That's it.
You see, it never becomes heavier or weaker.
That's right.
You see?
Amen.
It's still just as glorious. After 30-some years of salvation, Joe, it still rejoices my soul to hear Christ Jesus. And it's a faithful saying that He came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Because I need that.
Exactly.
The carnal mind says, well, I had that back yonder. I'm okay now. No, the spiritual mind says, God, I need that gospel every blessed day. I need my daily portion.
Yes, sir.
I need the King to take me out of the prison and out of my prison garments and give me a part of His portion every day of my life.
Amen.
Mm. Mm. You remember the song, Let Not Conscience, this is true every day of our life.
Yeah.
Every day. Not just I was saved yesterday. No, I've got to be saved every day.
That's right.
Every day. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. That's just as true today as it was back yonder when God first saved you. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requires is that you feel your need of Him.
Amen.
That is the difference between the carnal mind, to be carnally minded,
yeah,
and the spiritual mind, to be spiritually minded.
Amen.
Father, not only teach us these things academically, Lord, we need to know them in doctrine and in its proper form and right order. But Lord God, teach it to us experientially. Teach it to us in our everyday lives and the everyday application of it. I thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.